Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Welcome into episode number 219 of the Songwriter Connection podcast. We are just so happy to have you here. We're going to talk about, you've heard me talk about my Cincinnati brothers before. And I've always encouraged you that, no matter where you're listening from, to find your own tribe. Even if you've got a, get on the socials, get on Facebook or Instagram. Put it out there that you want to write songs and you want to really hone your craft. Find people that are like you, like-minded, and maybe you find a place to meet, once a week. Find a little place to do an open mic. That's a good way to get started. We found a little place, we started open mics, and then we ended up doing writer's rounds on Thursdays, every Thursday. I know my buddy Todd, who reached out to us recently, has done just that in Coal Island, Ireland. And they have the Island Songwriter Group. I'm so proud of you guys. You can do it, and you can co-write, and you can really take your songwriting gift to a whole new level. How it started with me is through the NSAI, and I think I've told you this story. Nashville Songwriters Association International is a big group. There may not be an NSAI near you, but that should not stop you from putting your own group together. Our friends around the dining room table today did just that. And I was working at Cincinnati Radio at the time, and I was invited to come and talk to NSAI, huge chapter in Dayton and Cincinnati. And I walked into the room with my program director, Jay, and there were 60, 65 people sitting around the table. And we just talked about how songs chart, and what makes a good song. And I'm like, wait a minute, all you folks are songwriters? Yeah. I'm like, man, this is so cool. Kindred spirits. And so I joined, and we just had a blast. And you talk about finding your tribe. There was a guy named Greg Althammer who was running that thing, and he lived down the street from me. And just on the other side, this guy named Tim Skeen. And then there was Dave Blowers, one of my favorite songwriters. But we got to be really close. And every weekend, we were doing guitar pulls and challenging each other to write. Now, when I joined that group, everybody looked up to this duet. And I remember people going, see, that's Tim Skeen, and that's Gary White. And they're amazing. And Gary had this knack for harmonizing. And when those two, when their voices blended, it was like, They were the first of the group to go down to Nashville and audition at the Bluebird, and they got in. We're like, yes. And so, and I remember going down and watching, Gary White to my left, thank you for coming on the show today. Well,
thank you for having me. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Always looked up to you and you and Tim. Okay. David E. Blowers is one of my favorite writers in the group, really. Has so much talent, but he's kind of humble, a little on that shy side. We try to kick him into bud every now and then because, really, his melodies, his lyrics, everything, his concepts are genreless, and he's really amazing. Dave, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Dave.
We're going to talk about some of the songs you wrote. And this guy here is my brother from another mother. Greg Althammer always thought big. That's what I always loved about him. He'd call me in the middle of the night. What are you doing? Sleeping? I've been thinking. And when he said, I've been thinking, right, guys?
Yeah.
The things that he did in our group, I mean, we had meetings in Cincinnati and Dayton. He would network down in Nashville. I'm talking about you. Yes, I'm talking about you. And he'd bring up hit songwriters to our group to mentor people like Kerry Kurt Phillips and Mark Allen Barnett. Just seemed like he was up there about every week. Loved him. And Will Nance and Wynn Varble, who just had open heart surgery. Gosh, we're praying for you. And we're with you, Will. And so many other. Wynn Varble. Yeah. Didn't I say that? What did I say?
Will.
Wynn. Oh, I was thinking Will Nance. Yes. W-I-L. Yeah. Squirrel. Wynn, we hope that you're feeling better and you're up and around real soon. Will Nance was great buddy too. We all, I think, grew as songwriters, And Greg calls me up one day. I've been thinking, since we get these writers coming up, why don't we do a TV show? No project was too small for this guy, right? He didn't know a lot about TV, but he learned how to switch and he learned how to direct. And we had ourselves the Nashville Connection. TV show, and now today it's the podcast. So, guys, I'm glad that you joined me because there's this project that Greg that you headed up, and I want you to talk a little bit about our brother. You know, before we do, we're gonna just listen to this just for a little bit.
I remember Jesus was a man when we nailed him to that cross. I wonder to myself if he ever thought, how much stronger do I have to be, Lord, or to free my soul of the sins carry in with.
Now, before we all break down crying, that is Tim Skeen, who I think is one of my all-time favorite songwriters. He passed away almost 2 years ago, and we all still mourn him because we all looked up to him. He was a finished carpenter, and his woodworking skills were second to none. And he was the same, right, Greg, when it came to writing songs? Meticulous. It had to be perfect, right? And he wouldn't stop until it was.
Yeah, he was a master at making sure that every line, every syllable, everything just fit.
Yeah.
You know, he was a finished carpenter, which means, you know, you look at the trim and everything like that, and I did a lot of work with him out, you know. Mm-hmm. Other than we wrote songs, we also actually worked together. I learned a lot from him on that, but one thing I learned about him was that he was meticulous about the power of one word. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah, he was. One word. The story I always used to tell folks, and still sometimes, when you get on a really good song, and it was a heart-touching song, like How Much Stronger, and Tim, you have to understand, Tim was a big guy, football player, amazing personality. If you could get him on that song, and you get that lyric just right, and he started crying, you're like, oh my God. So I always used to say, is your song good enough to make the big guy cry?
Yeah, he did that quite often.
Gary White, you wrote with Tim probably more than anybody. You guys had a style. And I know that Tim, right up to the end, anything that we wrote, he had to run by Gary. And I know you guys would talk about it. He's like, call Gary, see what he thinks, you know. Tell us a little bit about Tim as we kind of salute him on the podcast this week.
Well, you know, I met him through NSAI just like everybody else did. And my first meeting at the NSAI, there wasn't 65 people there. I think there's only like 12 people in there.
Wow.
And, you know, we critiqued the music.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't bring anything because I was not ready for that. Was really not ready. But I was listening to the other people's songs.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim, well, everyone else's, they were good. They were good songs. But I didn't hear anything that really spoke to me at that moment. And I'm going, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can hang around with these people. I think I can do this. Then it came Tim's turn. Blew me away. Yeah. And as soon as he was done, I knew we had to become friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would take our breaks together and talk, and we realized that we had so much in common other than music.
Mm-hmm.
That it was just like, you know, sometimes you know when you meet somebody, they're going to be friends.
Right.
There's no questions about it. And that's the way it was with Tim and I.
Connection right away.
Yeah, it hit you right away. And yeah. I just loved to hear him sing. And I was not a great guitar player, and I'm still not today, but because of him and watching him, I'm better than what I was.
He's amazing.
So,
and he loved that drop D, didn't he?
He loved that drop D.
You know, we recently had Gary Chapman on the show, great guy. He says same thing. I write everything. I'm a drop D all the time. I'm like, yeah, you love my buddy Tim. You guys are amazing together, and the way your voices harmonized, and you got a gift for harmony and songwriting and melody. So, Blowers, what was your first experience with Tim Skeen, we're saluting today?
Yeah, so you'd already mentioned that Tim and Gary White, you know, had this songwriting partnership.
Right.
That was amazing. And my first workshop, I walked up and I see these two guys standing out front. and it's Tim Skeen and Gary White. Mm-hmm. They're taking a smoke break. You know, Tim, you know, like as you mentioned, he's kind of has this tough exterior.
He does.
He looks like the Marlboro Man. That's what's kind of going through my thoughts.
With muscles.
Yeah, he's kind of, you know, he's got this big, thick mustache and this thick, dark brown hair. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, he's kind of stocky and, you know, he's kind of sizing me up, you know, as I'm walking up. And I'm like, okay, this is really odd because it was in front. It was a church. We're meeting. I see these two guys out smoking. These one guy looks kind of tough and didn't know if I was going to belong. But, yeah, I mean, these guys, Tim and Gary, same thing. I mean, they were setting the bar.
Yeah.
Every
week.
Every week.
And every week you'd bring in a song for critique. Yeah. Critique, and these guys would bring in songs to blow you away.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I think that's the first time. I come from the pop world.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself mainly a pop writer.
Right.
And like you said, these guys had just come from Nashville and their first trip to Nashville. And matter of fact, that's what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Our first conversation was about their trip to Nashville. And, but they had really impressed upon me the power of a lyric.
Yeah.
You know, because they were the first ones it really was so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they were applying that Nashville lyrical, whatever it is,
right,
you know, that to their songwriting. And
yeah,
I think that's really made it such a huge impression on me at the time.
Yeah. It helped you grow as a songwriter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember first time I had enough courage to present a song. Patty came with me for courage, right?
Mm-hmm.
My wife. And I had the misfortune or fortune, how you look at it, to sit right next to Tim Skeen. And he was to my left and got to play first. And he's halfway through this song, and I whisper to Pettis, "I'm not doing this." She goes, "Yes, you are." I go, "No, I'm not. I'm not following Tim's theme." But I will never forget that. He was absolutely always amazing. But you know what? He didn't have an air about him. Everybody loved him.
Yeah.
He you know, he'd put his arm around you, and you know, he
treated everyone the same.
Everybody the same, didn't he, Greg?
Yep.
And you probably knew him better than anybody. You guys hung out so much.
Yeah, I mean,
got each other through
Gary,
some tough
Gary,
times.
Gary and him were close, but Tim was more like my big brother.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, we went through a lot of hard times together, personally, and then you know, we let the music and the songwriting kind of shape our relationship. But you know, there was a lot of times. I mean, you know, sometimes you know, he'd say, "Hey, you got $100?" You know, yeah, here's $100. You know, don't ask questions. You know,
mm-hmm.
Next time, next week. Hey Tim, you got $100?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it was crazy. There's a lot of years, 25 years, you know, of kind of growing up through the music, you know, together. I learned a lot from him,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I don't know. It's losing him has been really, really rough, and I think this whole project has kind of been therapeutic for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, listening to his stuff and making sure that I kind of honor what he gave and you know what he's left behind, because I don't want that to go to waste. It's too valuable. I mean, it's too precious. As you guys know, you know, we're so close to it. You know, we're all brothers. You know, and we're all so close to each other. You know, and if one of us goes, you know, we know the value of what we bring. You know, I know the value of what he brought to the world with his music, and I didn't want to let that just slip away into nothing.
Tim made his trips into Nashville and wrote a lot here. Never got to move here because, you know, Tim, his family was first, you know, and he had a family in Cincinnati, and, you know, I think eventually he probably would have ended up here, and I think he would have made more of an impact, although he did, you know.
Yeah.
But this project that you put together, tell us about that. It was a brainchild of yours again. You were thinking, and now we have Tim Skeen music that we can actually listen and you can stream. And I want you to go to Spotify. And Skeen is S-K-E-E-N. It's just Tim Skeen, and this is the guy that put this together, Greg Althammer.
Well, it kind of started back in the first song started in 2016, right, Dave? Blowers.
Oh, that sounds right. Yeah.
Dave and I and Tim were in my back yard, and we started this song called She Rains Down on Me.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up finishing that song. And about a year later, Tim and I would just take trips. If I had a work thing going or whatever it was, and I'd call him up and say, well, come on, let's go with me. And this particular trip, I had to go down to Louisiana. And I said, well, we're going to take a trip through Muscle Shoals.
Ooh.
And he's like, you mean like the Muscle Shoals? I said, yeah. I said, we're going to book. And I didn't ask. This is the thing. I never asked him if he wanted to go. I said, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, and maybe that was, you know, it's just the way it was. So, you know, and he'd do the same thing with me.
Yeah.
And so we jumped in the truck and we went through down to Muscle Shoals, and I booked a 3-hour block in the studio where the Rolling Stones recorded, and it's the Fame recording studio. Oh, yeah. I mean, this was crazy. We walked in and we saw pictures of these guys, and I'm sitting. So he decides to go ahead and do a couple songs, and one of the songs that he was going to do. Now, this wasn't a band or anything like in the studio. This was in just one big, huge room where they would record.
Right.
And he just sat in the middle of this room with his guitar and the mic. And it was just basically a press and play record kind of situation. So it was really kind of more of a work tape bucket list kind of thing.
Well, can we play a little bit of it?
Yeah.
Let's so you can hear what he did. This was right in Muscle Shoals.
Yeah. This was...
this melody. You guys. That was you and Tim Davey, right?
When I'm running on empty and I'm all dried up,
melody, man.
And my wishing well is turned to dust.
And he had a great voice, man.
Yes.
That's when she always shows up.
He had a great sense of the feel for the song.
Yeah, he did.
And lets her love rain down on me.
Now keep that one in mind, because we're going to play you a different one coming up.
Right, so that one was recorded. That was in 2017.
And that's in Muscle Shoals.
And all we got out of that was one CD. And that CD, we didn't have separate tracks. We didn't have anything. That's all I had.
Guitar vocal.
Guitar vocal, one CD, one track. That was it. And so fast forward for when after Tim passes away, and going through a lot of emotions and stuff like that, and I think about it, I get emotional just thinking about it, is the Beatles come out with Now and Then.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, as you guys know, the story of Now and Then is that John Lennon had sat down at his piano and wrote the song, and they did not have the ability for years to separate his piano and his vocal. So if they raised the piano, the vocal went up, whatever it was. There was no way to separate it. Wow. And they found a way through AI to be able to separate the vocal from the guitar or from the piano.
Wow.
And that got me thinking. I'm like, oh my God, we've got this song of Tim's in Muscle Shoals, but we have no way of separating it. So I reached out to a producer, Dan Schmaltz in Florida, and I explained to him what I was looking for. He says, yeah, I can do that. I said, that's what I want. So what he did is he went out, he separated the two between Tim's guitar and Tim's vocal, and then he built a new song all the way around Tim's vocal.
Wow.
And that's where we have the mastered final version of the Relift, the first single that was released off of this album.
Okay. And so this is on this new project that you put up for everybody to hear. And we want people to know Tim, you know. So let's listen to the final project. So this is it. This is
when I'm running on empty and I'm all dried up. And my wishing well is turned. A tiny seed in a cracked sidewalk. When I'm desperate for a single drop,
I just wanted you to hear that, you know. The whole reason why I wanted to do this podcast, selfish reasons, just to get my brothers back together in the same room, but to salute that man, because I think the world needs to hear that voice. I really do. And I knew that was foremost in your mind, Greg, in putting this thing together.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, when I put the project together, I was kind of grappling with that whole AI stuff. And, you know, there's some, you know, some thoughts behind that, good and bad.
And we're going to get into that.
Yeah, but, you know, and but that was a good thing for us to do, to be able to do that. And that was just the beginning of it. You know, that project there was just pretty much just the start of what we started doing mm-hmm. once we got into it. Yeah. But then there were some other tracks there that you know, the second track is There's No AI in That. Yeah. And that was a song that Dave Blowers and Tim wrote. And what we had, what it is that I had the original tracks from the demo that you guys
session
did,
tracks.
The session tracks right. at the Fun House.
Yeah.
Rodney.
Downtown Nashville. Yeah.
So I contacted Rodney Engel. Rodney sent me all of the tracks.
Rod the God
Engel. And so he sent me the tracks, all the stems. And then I sent them to the same producer, Dan. And he took Tim's scratch vocal in there, and that's where he produced the track "All the Dirt on Us." But you know, he wrote that with Dave.
I want to get into that song. I really do, and I want to get into the fact that we Tim and I both had scratch vocal deals at one point here in Nashville. we don't like to brag about that, but what I want to go back to the last song, because that melody. And I remember the first time I heard it, I was visiting back to Cincinnati, and we were at Greg's house and around the fire pit. And Tim picked up a guitar and started singing that. And I was just blown away. He goes, that ooh-ooh parts. And he would do that. And I'm like, don't stop. Keep doing it, man. It was just beautiful. Dave, tell me about the writing of that song. Get us under the hood.
Yeah, well, that was... Greg was a writer on that, too. And what I remember is we got together in Greg's backyard one night around mm-hmm. his fire pit. And that's where it started. And I think maybe at the end of the night, like you normally do, you might have... you know, a shell of a song. You got mm-hmm. a verse and a chorus and maybe part of a bridge.
Something to work on.
And as we all know, anybody who's written with Tim, you know, once the night's over, the song doesn't stop getting written.
No, he's up at 5 in the morning the next
day. No, he's if there's an idea that he loves, he mm-hmm. becomes absolutely obsessed. And we all know that.
He did, mm-hmm. yeah.
And he loved this idea. It's just every line is from the heart. Mm. And what I remember, Greg may have different memories, but I remember getting back together on it to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
But Tim pretty much had,
of course. He had finished it. We had a good shell going
on. Yeah, I think so. And from what I remember was he played it. He goes, let me show you guys what I have here mm-hmm. on this. And we're looking at each other going, well... that was pretty darn good.
Where do you go from there?
The songwriter in me, the Tim Skeen in me, mm-hmm. heard it and thought, well, that's a good V2. I think that's a good sick. So we got a recording of it, and I took it home. I thought, well, now it's my turn. And I said, I'm going to see if we can outwrite any of these lines. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked my tail off every single line. And I could not
make it
outright.
Better.
Tim had already done all the work.
Yeah.
You know?
It was,
that's the way it was. He just became obsessed.
Yeah.
And so that's my memory of.
Where'd that melody come from, you guys?
The melody?
Yeah.
I think Tim, well, you know, I remember the couple days before we actually had it, I was driving in a truck coming back, and I had heard something, and I heard about something about rain or whatever it was, and I think that's the night when I kind of just mm-hmm. threw that. I don't think I had that melody, but it was something about She's Raining Down.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tim jumped all over it. Mm-hmm. And between the two of them, they pretty much can dictate a great melody. And and what you're doing is when you're sitting there watching these two trying to create a good melody, you just sit back and just let the magic happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Very cool. I'm going to take a little break. Don't go away. We're going to talk a little bit about the AI portion of this project. We're saluting our our brother Tim Skeen on the Songwriter Connection.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Hey, thanks for sticking through the commercial break. That's what pays the bills around here, and we do appreciate it. By the way, I'd like to remind you at this point, too, that if you're watching on YouTube, click like and subscribe. And although we're not a video podcast, except for the Chris Wallen episode that we did live at the local, and we're hoping to do more of those. We always put up a little slideshow kind of on YouTube because we need to be there. I think you just need to be there. So if you're there, subscribe, like. I want to build up the subscribers there so we can monetize that as well. I've got Greg Althammer, former coordinator of NSAI in Nashville. Dave Blowers, one of the stars there. And Gary White, who perhaps knew Tim, the songwriter, better than any of us. You guys wrote so many songs. How many songs do you think you wrote with Tim, Gary? You ever count?
No, I have at least, in our catalog, at least 50.
At least 50?
Yep. Yeah. But let me tell you what, do we play that many out? No. Because yeah. I mean, when you played with him, you played the best that you...
The best songs
you've written. Yeah. Yeah.
The tested ones.
And if he was the one that was singing on it, I knew to shut up and just do the... I knew just to sit back and do the harmonies and just let him take it.
He had that big voice.
Yeah, he had that big voice.
Yeah. I can remember one of our first showcases in Nashville, we did this on Hometown Hero. And there's a part of that song where he just makes it soar. And I remember he did that and everybody in the place erupted. Remember? Was amazing. I can never do it that way. That's why I don't do that song a lot. Although Tim and I wrote that song coming back from Nashville. Yeah, there's a Tim story for you. We're driving home from Nashville, and we passed this water tower up near Portland, Tennessee, and it's still there. It says AAA Champs 2003, and we read it out loud, and we go, wow, they had a state champion team. Nobody said anything for a long time. We're driving through Bowling Green. Ski looks over me and goes, you're writing on that, aren't you, Linehan? I go, you are too, right? He goes, yeah, because we got so far. So by the time we got to Louisville, that song was half written. And I remember the next morning getting a phone call. It was about 6 a.m. He goes, Linehan, what are you doing? I go, I'm sleeping. He goes, you better get your butt over here because I'm writing on this song right now. You need to be here. So, put on some clothes, went over to Skeen's house, and there he was, man. And Hometown Hero was born, which is really a cool song. Greg, will you talk a little bit about that? Because you made that happen. You made that song kind of a regional hit in Cincinnati.
Are you talking about the Hometown Hero? Yeah. You know, we watched that on the way over here. Gary and I watched the video. Uh-huh. We had put on a... Gosh, it was a tribute to the 7 fallen soldiers of Claremont County, Ohio. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had people like Wynn Varble, David Lee, different pro writers singing their songs. And then I had asked Tim to, I think Tim wrapped it up. He was the last one. He was going to be the last one because Matt Maupin was one of the inspirations for you guys writing that song. Am I right?
Yeah. Matt lived around the corner from me. Matt Maupin was the first soldier that was killed in Iraq.
Yeah.
But we didn't know about it because he was missing for, 4 years before they finally would say,
So
he was the first one.
So we ended up putting together at one of our festivals for that year, Taste of Claremont. At the end of that, we did a tribute to the 7 soldiers, and Matt Maupin was one of them. Mm-hmm. And Tim was the last songwriter that came up onto stage, and he ended up singing Hometown Hero. Yeah. And I tell you what, you know, when he was up there, he felt so, he was such a deep emotional person and a writer.
Really was.
Mm-hmm. And when he delivered that song and he sang that song, man, it just, everybody's jaw, I think, was just dropped to the ground. It was amazing. And I love going back and watching that every now and then. And, you know, him telling the story about, you know, him and his son. And he said, you mm-hmm. know, I didn't know that, you know, my son knew him very well. And he says, yeah, man. Or he says, yeah, Dad, Matt was, he was that guy that, you know, when I was a freshman and he was a senior. And, you know, just hearing Tim's voice crack during that, telling that, man, it was great. So when he delivered that, it was a special moment. I know it's a special moment for him. And, you know, we've talked about over the years is you have songwriting moments. Mm-hmm. Those are the moments that we kind of look forward to, but we don't know we're in them until you're either in the middle of them or they're past.
Yeah,
you know, and that was a songwriting moment for him that he spoke about for a long time afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really a special day. And you know, I'm just flashing back to all those times. You know, again, growing out of the attitude that nothing was too small. And nothing was too big. I mean, nothing was too big. We ended up, Greg, you especially, putting on those events like that. And
well, you know,
taste of Claremont's, the songwriter festivals.
You know, but that was the thing is, yeah, I think I might have just been the spark that got it going, but everybody contributed. I mean, everybody at this table and even outside of this room today, you know, that was the only, Tim, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, Tim and I, he knew it was coming. He knew I needed help with the setup. I needed help with the organizing. I needed help. And I would have never done that the way at the scale that it was done without you guys and Tim right there by my side, you know, going to get the lumber to build the songwriting stage, to go right. get the, you
the
know,
hay. The hay bales.
Yeah,
around.
Put yeah. the hay bales around. Yeah. I mean, the setting up the sound, tearing down the sound. I mean, it was a full, it was not me. It was an us thing, and he was right there and never
Absolutely.
Thought twice about
yep.
it.
Yep.
It was an amazing time in our lives.
I can remember one Saturday afternoon, we're sitting around that lamp playing, and I look up, and this lady coming down, and she turns around and she goes, oh, that's like the Bluebird in Nashville. And it was Carole King.
Oh, remember that? Right, right.
Carole King. We had this lamp, right, and all these famous writers would sign the lamp when they came. And so she wouldn't play for us, but she did sign her lamp, which was kind of cool. Now listen, the Hometown Hero song, I don't have a version to play you, but it is streaming out there if you go to YouTube. And what do they look for?
Tim Skeen, his page or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And his channel.
And he has a lot of videos that people can watch.
There's a few of them out there. Yeah. Not as many as I'd like, you know. Yeah. I don't think I can get or find too many. You know, and that's the thing. I'm always looking for something to kind of bring Tim back into my heart. You know, I mean, he's always in my heart, but into the forefront. You know, what I mean?
You know, mm-hmm. Eva Cassidy. I think about her. She didn't become famous really until after she passed, and people started hearing that voice and her incredible interpretations of the classic songs she was doing. I hope the same for Tim. You know, I mean, he was an amazing voice. He's a writer that deserves to be heard.
Absolutely,
don't you think?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Now we talked about AI. And I was always one that was dead set against it. I'm like, nah, you know, it's going to wreck music. But, you know, people said that about video. Video would kill a radio star, right? I think today I've got a whole different attitude because it's a tool. And when used properly, it can help you in the writing room. Things like ChatGPT, Suno, which we've all experienced. You pulled a little bit of AI in, and Greg, when you were thinking about this project, a little bit of influence from James Dupree, who did the voice of Randy Travis on Randy Travis, You Can't Sing Anymore.
Yeah.
Released an album.
Yeah. Blew me away. I saw that story, right? When they had the voice of Randy Travis, and they had a surrogate voice.
Mm-hmm.
And this was right after we had done the project for, you know, for She's Raining Down, and I'm like, I don't have any other. We had two songs. I had She's Raining Down and then All the Dirt. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just work tapes. And as you know, just kind of cassette type of work tapes, they're just, the quality isn't there. And I wouldn't want to do that, you know, to release that. And I know Tim wouldn't want that. You know, he wanted a really high quality type of production.
Right.
So I started thinking, it's like, man, what if I could get Tim's voice trained or whatever it is? So I ended up using the same program that they use for Randy Travis, Kits.
Yeah.
It was Kits. Mm-hmm. And I have, I don't know, God, I've got about, you know, hours and hours of Tim's vocals. So I trained it for a vocal model for Tim.
Now, when you say train, you're just putting all that stuff you had into this Kits program?
Well, yeah, it wasn't as easy as that, though.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like, you know, press and play. So it took me a long time to be able to do this. So what you do is you go out there and you have to separate the voice from the tracks, because it kind of goes right back to what we were talking about before. All I had was just a single track with everything. Mm-hmm. So you had to pull the vocals out of it. Then you had to separate the... No reverb, no effects, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Then you had to completely collect all of those into one file and then dump it into Kits.
Okay.
And then Kits trained it. And then you have a specific voice, and that was the Tim Skeen voice.
Okay.
So then after that, you had to find the right surrogate. So, and a surrogate is just like the actual singer, right?
Like in the case of Randy Travis, James Dupri was in his band and sang all those songs.
Yeah, because James had the same inflections and the same type of wording and phrasing that Randy Travis did. So I didn't have that.
Mm.
So I found a couple demo tracks that we did with a demo singer that worked perfectly with the way Tim did his songs.
Okay.
So I swapped out Tim's, or the demo singer's voice for Tim's voice.
And it was unbelievable.
That's what we ended up getting with the two other tracks. She's A Little at a Time.
Uh-huh.
And then Kansas Sky.
Let's play A Little at a Time, because that's got a really good story,
yeah.
Right?
Tim and I got together. We were writing with a buddy of ours here in Nashville, Brian Edwards, and we started working on that song. And same story goes. After we get together, Tim and I are coming home, and we're always writing this thing, right? So at that time in our lives, Tim and I were working together outside of just writing songs. So we were always together. So we ended up writing the majority of that song without, I can't say, Brian and I, or the three of us, got a good part of it. But then Tim and I came back in and on the way home, and we started working on it. So, but then we were going back down to Nashville to play songs for Carrie Kurt Phillips.
Good songwriter.
So Carrie.
Big hits, that guy.
Yep. Carrie and myself and Tim were good friends. And he says, play me some songs. What do you guys got? So Tim breaks out Little at a Time, and Carrie's like, I like that one.
Mm.
Well, what if you did this? What if you did that? What if you did this? So next thing you know, we're writing on this
big hit writer.
This song.
Yeah.
So Carrie makes some pretty significant changes to what we had. And now we've got a co-write with Carrie Kurt Phillips on this song.
Yeah.
And tell you what, that was a songwriting moment, one of those ones. And Tim's like, man, I got to write with Carrie Kurt Phillips.
Yeah, who wrote, name some of the songs.
Yeah, She Let Herself Go, Pickup Man.
Won't Prize for That.
Yeah.
Almost Want, Home.
Yeah, down on the Farm. He's a legend in the music world. So.
Absolutely. So I'm going to play A Little at a Time. Now, this is the AI voice of Tim, and I couldn't tell.
Yeah, once you get the AI voice separated, then you have to dump it into your for what I have is Logic. So then I had to remix it.
Okay.
Once you do that, because then you've got all the music, all the separate tracks for the music, the voice. So you had to remix it and then remaster it. So
my goodness. Well, here it is, Tim Skeen coming alive on the podcast today. Thank you, guys.
She don't fuss about that day old shadow on my face. She ain't waiting like she used to when I come home late. She don't try to warm her cold feet on mine anymore. Each night our bed seems bigger than it did the night before. But she's leaving. Ready to move on. She's done packed it all in. feel at home. Little by little, I'm going out of my mind. She's leaving me. She's leaving me a little at a time. Empty hangers in the closet with lots of extra space. When I asked her about it, she said, I'm getting rid of things I hate. And we won't talk as much tomorrow as we did today. And it just won't be long till there's nothing left to say. She's leaving. She's ready to move on. She's done packed it all in, but her bags are still at home. Little by little, I'm going out of my mind. She's leaving. She's leaving me a little at a time.
Greg, where did the instrumentation come on this one?
This was all in the studio.
From the sessions that we did in Nashville?
Yep.
Cold, hard rain, slowly washing away. One morning I wake up and she'll be gone. She's ready to move on. She's done packed it all in, but her bags are still at home. Little by little, I'm going out of my mind. 'Cause she's leaving me. She's leaving me a little at a time.
Gary, does that sound like Tim Skeen to you?
That sounds exactly like Tim.
Amazing.
Exactly like
Tim. Of course, it was modeled. And I remember the version that we did. We cut that at the Funhouse, which is no longer there, unfortunately, with Tim Bumper doing the original vocal. And his voice was kind of close to Tim. So
yeah, his phrasing was dead on. You know, and I think he took that because Tim's in, you know, probably, I would say, one of the best demo singers that we came across, only because he was able to take the work tapes.
Yeah.
And the work tapes pretty much came from Tim, because you know he drove a lot of that stuff. Mm. So Tim's work tapes, the inflections, the way that Tim would do it in the work tapes, Tim Buppert just automatically.
Oh, he just jumped on
it. He just jumped on it. So it worked. It worked really, really well.
Yeah, what a pro. Do you know, it's interesting you say that. We would work for hours on it. Work tape, you know. Today, we record it on a phone, throw it up to Sunu, and it gives us an amazing work tape. But back in those days, I had a little Roland. Remember those Roland recorders? You had one, Dave, didn't you? BR, what was it?
1180.
1180.
Yeah.
And Tim was over at her house. I think we were doing Louisville Slugger. And I have to tell this story because
there you go.
This is Tim. So he's playing it, and we're going through, and we were doing the one take thing. You know, we weren't going back and editing. You know, you messed it up, you do it again, right? So at the end, he was pretty darn close, about 90%, and he's done. He hits that last note, and he goes, or something like that. And we died laughing.
That stuck for, still, it's still.
I named my first record.
He did?
It was your idea, or something like that. And I am still known to do that, writer's rounds and stuff, sometimes when I'm doing a work take. Or something like that. Tim, we laughed so hard, we're rolling on the floor. Or something like that. Yeah. One of the many good times.
Oh, my God.
Now, there are other songs on this that I want to get to. One that you wrote, Gary, with him, called Kansas Sky, which, by the way, I named the song. You guys weren't sure what to call it, but Kansas Sky. So, although I'm not a co-writer, but I do take pride in that. Now, this was a cool song, Gary. Tell me about it. We'll play it.
Well, the song came just out of his and my conversation. During the conversation, I can't remember what we were talking about. He made the statement, okay, well, we're not in Kansas anymore. Mm-hmm. How many times have you heard that statement?
Yeah, exactly.
And I looked at him and said, Tim, what does that mean? He goes, well, it's exactly what it means. I said, no, but what if it really meant something different? Because as soon as he said that, I got a vision of a breakup. Uh-huh. And she's not in Kansas anymore. And he gave me that look like, eh, okay. You know, the look, he's not interested. Well, I said, okay, he's not interested in my mind. We're going to just drop it. But we were already in Kansas in our minds. So we started talking about Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and goes, well, what if we wrote that song in the key of Oz? And as soon as he said that, everything started coming together. We just started thinking about Oz, what could be romantically connected with Oz and our song. And we came up with this song.
In the key of Oz.
Now, going back to the AI thing,
mm-hmm.
many years later, he's gone. We do the AI with his voice that sounds natural. Only thing missing is when we do it out live, I have the harmonies. So we were able to take that AI, take it back in, put it in, mix it again, and I was able to sing with my brother one more time.
Oh, my God.
And put the harmonies in this song.
So this is you singing background on this, the Bee Gees.
Yep, that's correct.
God. Listen to this Kansas guy. Always love this song. Same thing with the instrumentation?
Yes.
It was Scott Newbert in that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Didn't feel the wind blow like a Texas tornado. He swept you off your feet on his way to Looking Bob. Just like the scarecrow, you needed someone to follow. And you left me hanging here, praying he'll let you down. Close my eyes underneath this Kansas sky. Then I wish upon a star.
Gary, that's awesome.
But there just ain't no yellow brick road running through these fields of corn.
Harmony.
That will ever bring you home. 'Cause he's in Texas. You're not in Kansas anymore. If I had the courage, I'd go and get you. Half a brain, I'd just forget you. But all I've got is this heart of mine, and it's breaking in two. So every night I close my eyes this Kansas sky, then I wish upon a star. But there just ain't no yellow brick road running through these fields of corn that will ever bring you home. 'Cause he's in Texas. You're not in Kansas anymore. I hope you find a fortune teller with a crystal ball. Well, who tells you that you've hurt someone back in Wichita? That he still loves you. There's no place like home. So every night I close my eyes underneath this Kansas sky. Then I wish upon a star. Oh, there just ain't no yellow brick road running through these fields of corn that will ever bring you didn't feel the wind blow like a Texas tornado. He swept you off your feet on his way to Luke and Bob.
Yeah, Gary.
Now, see, with that, I never would have had that without AI.
Yeah, there's a good use of
that. We never had a recording of us doing that live. And, you know, so there's good things and there's bad things. And
there are.
You got to, right now we need to focus on the good things about AI.
I think we do, because it's here to stay.
It's here to stay.
It's in the writer's rooms. It's everywhere in the music industry. Oh, my God, that was like taking us back in time. Watching you and Tim together, how many times did you see these guys singing like that together?
And you know, that was one of Tim's favorite songs.
It really was.
I can hardly remember a round. I think that he didn't try to find a way to fit that one.
Always did. Yeah, that was a staple. Yeah. That and
Mama's in the Mood.
Mama's in the Mood. Did you get a version of that? Never did.
No, I think we had to stop right where we were at. So
Mama's in the Mood was always Tim's first song out, and it was a rocker. And it would get. I'd love playing a little lead on that. That killed it. That always got the party going. Another one I really loved. And you know what? When I'm cleaning around the house. And I'm sweeping up and I lift up the carpet, you know. I think there's not enough room under the rug for all the dirt on us. And, Davey, you wrote that with Tim.
I did.
Classic.
Tell me about that song.
Okay, so what I remember about that is Tim and I had gotten together, and it was one of the first times that just the two of us were trying to write a song together, and we were actually writing something else. You know, it happens, right?
Didn't that happen? Yeah.
Nothing. It just wasn't going anywhere, and so we decided to take a break, and we go out on Tim's deck, and we start talking, and we start, you guys are laughing. I know what you're laughing about. You got me distracted.
An inside joke trimming the bush around the deck. Never mind. We're not going there. Fox.
So, we start swapping stories about our younger days. You know, and all the things crazy things we did when we were young that could have gotten us in a lot of trouble, and you know how lucky we were that we weren't in jail, all this kind of stuff. And I made it some kind of comment about, yeah, it's nice that we've swept that all under the rug now. And Tim goes, like, Tim, he just has this wit. He just says, yeah, man, there ain't enough room under the rug for all the stuff I did.
Oh, man.
And we just started laughing, and then we looked at each other, and we're like,
what'd you just say?
Yeah.
I love it when it happens that way. Well, let's play All the Dirt on Us, and this is not an AI, Tim. This is real Tim.
100% Tim.
Yeah, all right.
Yes. I'm glad it turned out like this. This is insane. Too. This is one of my favorite songs of all of Tim's stuff.
We were down in Mississippi near the Alabama line, drinking beer and whiskey, throwing empties at the sign.
Guy could rock too, you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
In my rearview mirror.
There wasn't a style that he could not do.
It really true.
My buddy Bobby screamed, hey, let's get out of here. Push the pedal to the metal, grabbed another gear, ducked into Bainfield, locked in my front wheel.
Jason Aldean, are you listening? This is your song right here. You should be recording this song.
There was that time down in Biloxi, we were parked down by the dam, hoping to get lucky with Roxy and her sister Pam, steaming up the windows in my old truck. Those two went skinny dipping, me and Pam laid back the seats, lots of heavy breathing, I was begging. Started laughing right before we hit the lake, and we went redneck done, and there ain't enough room under the rug for all the dirt.
You put this together? Where did this music come from? The melody.
This came from Dan.
In Florida?
In Florida, yeah. Okay. This is all him. He built this around the scratch vocals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, this was, ever since they wrote this song, I have been 100% supportive of this song. And I said, guys, you've got to get this one out there.
It's a hit.
I felt like this was one of the best songs that ever came out of this, out of our group.
I do too.
Yeah.
Great song. Well, I want to thank all of you guys. Hammer, love your brother, and thank you for this project.
You are my brother.
I know Tim would love it. And
100%.
Yeah, what do you think about this AI stuff?
Oh, he would be all over it, man. He would be over my house all the time telling me, let's do this. Because he wouldn't be doing it, but he'd be asking me what to do. Yeah. And he wouldn't.
Wouldn't even text on his.
He'd read his text, but you know, then you didn't know if he actually got it or not. You know, he wasn't a big tech guy, you know, but he loved what it could do. Mm-hmm. You know,
sure.
You know, as far as him doing it, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But as far as relying on somebody like us, you know, doing that, oh my God, he would eat this
up. I'm sure he would. Think so, Gary?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's pretty magical, right?
Yeah.
And Dave, love you, man.
Love you, man.
We just got to kick him in the butt because he should be doing the writers' rounds. And he's, like I say, one of my favorite writers. You guys, thank you, brothers, for coming in and tributing. And thank you for listening as we tribute a lost brother. And I appreciate hearing our story. And I know that you're going to love Tim just as much as we do. So if you go to Spotify, find Tim Skeen, S-K-E-E-N. Listen to those songs. Each and every one of them are so well written in his voice. It deserves to be heard. And Greg, I can thank you from the bottom of my heart for putting that all together. And all you guys, always lifelong friends.
Love you, brother.
Appreciate it.
Love you, too.
Right on, folks. W-R-I-T-E. Right on.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.